Hank from New Jersey. It's the SNL Nerds, the show where two comics from New Jersey nerd out about Saturday Night Live. I'm your co-host, Darren Patterson.
And I'm your co-host, John Trumbull.
Hey, John Trumbull. Happy March, my good man.
Oh, yeah. Hey, it is March now, isn't it?
Yes, we're marching into March. The merry, merry month of March. March Madness. Marchy March.
Woo!
Marchy March and the Funky March.
Yes.
Is that how it goes?
Yes. That's exactly it. You got that exactly right. No
yes.
Notes.
Nailed it. Slam yeah. Dunk. Nothing but net.
Yep.
Holler.
It's funny because like, you know, like the way you started the show, I could tell you were like putting on a little more energy because like Darren told me just before we started recording, he's like, oh, you know, I'm fighting off a bit of a cold. And you know, right. So I might be a little low energy this week. And then, yeah. You know, you come in hot on the intro.
Yeah, I gotta perform for the people, our listeners. Like, you know, I gotta bring it. I gotta do what I gotta do. You know, it's you know, hey, if you gotta do a bump of cocaine in order to perform for the audience, goddamn, you do that cocaine.
Well, this escalated quickly. Wow.
What?
Okay.
What did I say?
You said you took some DayQuil.
Yes, that's it.
To give you energy to get through the podcast.
That's like DayQuil, give me energy.
White powdery energy.
Yes, sweet white powdery, sugary sweet energy.
Yes.
Oh, wow, my gums.
that's good energy.
Oh, my God, we should make a movie. Totally got an idea. Totally got a backer.
Yeah.
Oh God.
So we're here to discuss Saturday Night Live. That's kind of what we do here, seeing as how we're the SNL nerds and all. This week, for instance, we are covering the Sydney Sweeney, Casey Musgraves episode, season 49, episode 13 from March 2nd, 2024. First time hosting for Sydney Sweeney. Has Casey Musgraves been on the show before? I feel like she has.
She has. She's been on it twice, I believe. So this will be her third time.
Nailed it.
Yeah, so she was on the Owen Wilson episode. And
wow.
I believe... Oh, I got to look it up. I think it was like the Amy Schumer episode. But yeah, she's...
Yeah, I think that's what you said last week. I think Amy Schumer's name did come up last week, so...
Right. So, yeah. Yes, Sydney Sweeney, hot new rising star. You know, of course, you'd recognize her, as she said in her monologue, from Euphoria and The White Lotus. Mm-hmm. You definitely wouldn't have seen her in Miss Madam Web.
Yeah, that was a good line. It's kind of funny how quickly she kind of had to pivot away from that. She was like, I'm here to promote my new movie, Immaculate. And, you know, I looked it up. It's opening on the 22nd of March. So.
Yeah, I think they showed like commercials for it throughout the movie. It apparently seems like she plays a nun in a convent who's pregnant.
Unexpectedly pregnant. Yeah, I was curious, so I watched the trailer and I'm like, oh, she's playing a nun, and yet she still apparently has a shower scene. Okay.
Yep. And the people who make the movie know what they're doing.
On brand for Sydney Sweeney, I guess. I mean.
Yeah, because I mean, I think that is the thing about her. Like people, I mean, I've seen some things with her in it. But like for most people who kind of know her a little bit better than I do, they say she is a very good actress. She's a solid actress.
I think she's been nominated for a few Emmys for Euphoria, if I remember correctly.
I think so. She is a very solid actress, and she also happens to be just drop dead gorgeous.
Stunningly attractive person. Yes.
Yeah, like almost like distractingly so. Like it distracts you from the fact that she can't.
Yeah.
Have.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a good problem to have, but you know.
Yeah, I guess so. Yeah. It does seem like when somebody is that physically gorgeous, yeah, a lot of times they don't get appreciated for their talents.
Right. I mean, I think like, Angelina Jolie probably had that problem back in the day.
Yeah, too. Margot Robbie, I think.
Yeah, you know, yeah, absolutely.
A bit of that going on, too. So, I don't think I've seen Sydney Sweeney in enough stuff to, like, really judge her properly as an actress. I've never watched Euphoria.
Same.
So I don't know. I hear it's good. I know Zendaya won an Emmy or two for it, so.
Yeah, but either way, like she's definitely on the come up, and she's Yeah, she's, you know, a lot of the young folks like her, so they're like, hey, mm-hmm. let's put her on SNL, see what she can do. And I would say she's a pretty decent host.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'd say she did a good job, you know.
Yeah.
Getting into spoiler territory. Yeah.
Yeah, for sure.
She did not embarrass herself. It was not like Jacob Elordi levels of why is this person here? So
yeah, and that's another thing too. Like, I do appreciate that they kept the hey, isn't our host hot sketches to a minimum.
There seems to be some varied opinions on that. I saw a friend of mine, he sent me a piece from Vanity Fair this morning saying that, you know, they did too much of that.
Really?
Yeah. Well, I mean, we you know, look, we got it into a cheerleader outfit and a Hooters outfit, and, you know,
yeah.
there were other boob jokes throughout, and so I see where they're coming from.
Yeah, but I mean, I feel, all right, the Hooters one, that's the one I was thinking, all right, so this sketch totally hinges on the fact that she's appealing. But like the other, I think the other sketches, you can make the case that, like, the sketch doesn't hinge on her looks solely. But either way, we'll talk about it.
It's funny. I noticed, like, a few minutes before we started recording, I was like, oh, Sydney Sweeney is trending. I guess it's because, you know, she hosted the show last night. And I clicked on her name just to see what people were saying. And it was almost all, like, GIFs of her from the show, because she wore, like, a few low-cut tops throughout the evening. And they were all just, like, GIFs of, oh, here's Sydney Sweeney bouncing.
Yeah.
Like, oh, never change, internet. Never change.
Just, oh, dear.
So, yeah. So, you know, people were enjoying her on different levels, I suppose.
Yes. You know, we all had our different levels of enjoyment on that.
Yeah. So, should we get into it? Get into the show itself?
Let's do it. Cold open. Boom. Let's.
All right. Inside Politics, cold open. We had Heidi as a host, a CNN host. I didn't write down the name. I'm assuming it's a real CNN host.
Dana Bash, yes.
Dana Bash, okay. And talking about kind of one of the big stories out there now, and, like, you know, people have a lot of concerns about Joe Biden's age.
Yes, they're concerned, you know, he's in his 80s and...
Yeah.
He's going up for re-election and people are worried. But the people that Dana Bash has on the show are here to quell all the fears.
Right.
People. Joe is as vibrant and sharp at the tack, and he can get the
he
job
can
done.
Get it.
Get art done. Yes, exactly. Yeah.
We have Michael Longfellow as Gavin Newsom. We have Ego as Press Secretary Karine Jean-Pierre. I like her line. She said, like, you know, he was 30 when Roe v. Wade hit, so you know Biden was smashing.
Yeah.
You know, the basic joke is, yeah, people are just kind of going over the top, talking about how sharp and with it and vital and energetic he is. And I am seeing a fair amount of this in the media. You know, they're really trying to pivot away from the story or counteract the story or, you know, however you want to phrase it.
Yeah, like, I mean, I think, you know, people know, like, if they want to sell Biden as a viable candidate, which he is, like, they really have to, like, kind of quell people's fears about his age. Like, they also have, like, in the sketch, Marcelo as Alejandro Mayorkas talking about mm-hmm. how they went down to the border and, like, how he parkoured up the border wall, front flipped into the Rio Grande, and came up with a fish in his mouth.
Biden was in beast mode.
Beast mode, as the kids say.
Yeah. And then they had Devin come on as Draymond Green and saying, like, Biden dunked on me. So, you know, some funny comedic exaggeration throughout.
He said, like, oh, yeah, Draymond Green got so angry he tried to punch Biden in the nuts and he broke three fingers.
Yeah, and he, like, pulls out his hand, and he's got, like, three splints on his fingers. Yeah.
A lot of, like, Bill Brasky type of exaggeration.
Yeah, kind of. I hadn't thought of it that way, but, yeah, that's a good point. And then finally, we have the host, she FaceTimes Biden, or actually, Michael Longfellow as Gavin Newsom FaceTimes Biden to, like, you know, kind of prove how with it he is. Because it's like, these people are always saying, like, oh, behind closed doors, yeah, he's great. And he's so, you know, the most energetic person in the room and all that. And then you, like, see Biden in a press conference and he's like, it's fair to say he's kind of, like, low energy, right?
Yeah, he is. He is. But, you know, that doesn't mean he.
But, I mean, he still seems very with it mentally, which I think is the main thing. He's not, let's say, forgetting who his wife is, forgetting who the president is, freezing and staring into the distance in the middle of a speech.
Yeah, or selling golden sneakers for Pete to be.
Right.
Things like that.
Not on trial for rape.
Yeah.
Have criminal charges pending.
For example.
Doesn't owe hundreds of millions of dollars in civil charges.
You know, yeah, just
throwing out these examples off the top of my head.
Yeah, exactly. So they get Joe Biden to FaceTime, and of course we see Mikey Day as his Joe Biden. It's like, hey there, Gavin, let me just go ahead and turn up the volume up here on the phone. And he hangs up.
Yeah, he presses the wrong button and cuts off the call. Yeah. Papa. Decent enough cold open.
Decent enough. Kind of wish there was maybe a little bit of a stronger ending to it, but overall, I thought it was okay. I thought it was decent.
It maybe seemed a little anticlimactic at the end there.
Yeah, like it kind of almost reminded me of, like, remember the old Phil Hartman sketch when they had Phil Hartman play Ronald Reagan? And then they had people kind of come in and, like, Ronald Reagan.
Oh, yeah, Ronald Reagan mastermind?
Yeah, Ronald Reagan mastermind. And he would give the old Ronald Reagan persona, like, hey there, youngster.
Right.
And then, of course, when the people left, they'd be like, all right, let's get back to work. And then he, like, snap into, like, this.
Yeah, that almost seems to be, like, the image that they're trying to project of Biden right now. Yeah, that's a good comparison.
Yeah, like, I almost kind of wish they maybe went in that direction with this cold open, but. But then again, maybe people would have been like, oh, you're stealing from the Ronald Reagan.
Yeah, I mean, that might have seemed more just like straight up pimping for Biden. I think this was good, just kind of satirizing how hard people are working to counter that. Did you see him on Seth Meyers' show this week?
Yeah, a little bit, because like I know, because Seth is like celebrating his like, what, 10-year anniversary?
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
And like so
he had the guests from his very first show, and he had Amy Poehler and Joe Biden in that order again. Which,
damn.
I mean, it's pretty cool of the sitting president to be like, yeah, sure, I'll go second.
Exactly. Yeah, I'll play cleanup to Amy. Yeah. Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'll follow
and
that
he
up.
was a surprise guest from what I understand. So I don't think they announced him ahead of time, but.
That's crazy.
But I'm sorry, you were about to say something about how he was on the show, I think.
No, I forgot.
Okay.
But yeah, overall.
Yeah, this is why Darren's not up to the job anymore, people.
Yeah, sorry, I'm falling apart. But cold open, decent enough, I thought.
Mm-hmm.
I thought it was a step up from the Shane Gillis one for sure.
Yes.
Yeah,
yes.
Yeah.
Okay. This episode was a step up from the Shane Gillis episode in many aspects.
I would agree with you, sir. I would say this was a step up from the Shane Gillis. Absolutely.
Next we have Sydney Sweeney's monologue. Comes out in a white dress. As she said before, she says, yeah, you've seen me in Euphoria and The White Lotus. You definitely did not see me in Madam Web.
That movie sucks.
it's just kind of hilarious how quickly that movie bombed. Pretty much everybody knew it was not going to do well. I mean, yeah. I think even when Dakota Johnson hosted a few weeks ago, she knew it was not going to do well.
Yeah. Like, I mean, I've seen people review it and they say like, it's shockingly, like it's almost campy good.
Yeah.
Like camp, because like, it's that bad, mm-hmm. but it's like, not really, but like people, a lot of people say it's like amazingly, incredibly, shockingly bad.
Yeah, I was hearing people it wasn't quite bad enough to really enjoy as a camp experience. It was just a bad movie. And
yeah.
So, anyway, we don't need to kick her while she's down and all that. Yeah. I just thought it was funny. She was kind of like pivoting to like, hey, but I've got this other movie coming up. Immaculate. Check that out, folks.
This will be good.
Forget about that Madam Web thing over here that's, you know, probably still in theaters, I guess. I don't know.
I'm not going to look it up.
I don't know.
Let's say yes.
But I don't think I've heard anybody say a good thing about that film. And, you know, that's got to be a little awkward where you're ostensibly promoting this movie still. And
you know, little bit. I think everybody's seen the writing on the wall. They're like, yeah, we know what's up.
You know, probably even Sony is like, yeah, that's okay. We know it's bad.
It's cool.
So let's see. She mentioned that, you know, she's from Spokane. She mentioned that when she was first getting into acting, she had like a 5-point plan to prove her worth to her family or make sure that it was a good plan. And it was like, you know, move to Los Angeles, get an agent, you know, do this, do that. And then she showed the next slide from her PowerPoint presentation, and it was Plan B, show boobs.
Yep. And here we are.
I don't know. That's, on one hand, she agreed to the joke. On the other hand, that's doing her a bit of a disservice, isn't it?
It is a bit reductive, I will admit.
Yeah.
It is, but, yeah.
But, you know, on the other hand, she has done a fair amount of nudity, from what I understand.
She has. I mean, maybe she's making fun of the people that are saying online that's how she got so popular. It's like, oh, she's
right,
so popular
right.
because she has a phenomenal rack and blah, blah, blah. You know, things like that.
Right, right. You know, it's just like, oh, 9 minutes in, got our first boob joke of the night.
There we go.
Probably not our last.
Ding. Then she also mentioned that little dust-up she got about her Trump-themed party for her mom.
Was it actually Trump-themed, or were people just, like, wearing Trump hats and stuff?
Yeah, I mean, from what I saw, it was some pictures on Instagram of her and her family at a barbecue. And, yeah,
right.
Some people were wearing, like, Blue Lives Matter T-shirt,
right?
But like, and it wasn't specifically MAGA,
right?
And, like, people just saw that and just kind of assumed, like, oh, her family's MAGA, therefore she's MAGA, and that's a problem. And she had to, like,
honestly, that was, you know, that was like a million years ago in internet time, so I was kind of surprised they even brought that up.
But... yeah, exactly. People kind of forgot about it. It just kind of, it was just like the hot button topic of the week.
Right, it was like the scandal du jour, and then after a couple days, people pretty much forgot about it, and
they went
moved on to the next outrage.
Yep, very much so.
She also mentioned, you know, certain rumors about her, and like I know with her last movie or her last movie before Madam Web, I suppose, the Anyone But You, there were a lot of rumors that she and her co-star Glenn Powell were an actual couple, and she's like, no, I'm actually engaged and my fiance is here in the audience tonight. And then they cut to the audience and we just see Glenn Powell sitting there in the audience.
Yes, just a handsome man.
What is he famous for? I'm not really certain of this.
He's been in a few things. I guess if you want to point out one thing that kind of broke him, he was in the last Top Gun movie, Top Gun Maverick.
Oh, okay, no wonder I don't know him. Okay.
But yeah, like since then, like his star has been kind of on the rise.
Uh-huh.
He's going to be in that upcoming Twister sequel.
All right, okay.
Anyone But You, he's kind of been in.
Yeah, which I understand has done pretty well, so.
Yeah. Let me look up his stuff.
I don't think I realized that Sydney Sweeney was engaged.
I think she kind of came out with that a while ago.
I mean, I don't generally follow celebrities' dating lives, so, you know. I'm more and more often surprised when I'm like, oh, this person's dating this person. Oh, this person's married or this person's gay. Because I just don't make any effort to keep track of it.
No, some guy.
I find out about it when it's mentioned on an SNL monologue, basically.
Like, oh, okay. Yeah. Like some guy locked that down real quick. It's like, oh, you're on the rise and you look like that. Will you marry me?
Yeah.
Right now.
Yeah.
Today.
Yeah.
Gotta lock that in. But yeah, Glenn Powell, he was also in Hidden Figures. He was in the that movie, Everybody Wants Some, the Richard Linklater film.
been around. Nothing I've really seen. So
He's been in some things, but his star is like slowly on the rise. So
did you see Anyone But You?
I did not. No, I mean I like an occasional rom com, but I don't.
Yeah, me too.
Go like seeking it out. Like I saw the trailers and I was like, this looks okay, I guess.
Yeah, I watched the trailers and I was like, I think I could give this a miss. You know, it just looked very typical formulaic rom com thing, and the trailer didn't really make me laugh.
It didn't really hook me, so I was like, But like Glenn Powell seems likable enough. I know a lot of people kind of want him to be either in the MCU or the DCU as like, because he's like good looking, charismatic, he's muscle bound, he could be like, Booster Gold or something like that.
Yeah, I've heard that. I've heard that.
So, we'll see. But otherwise, not a bad monologue. Nice, short,
decent enough monologue. Yeah, sure. She acquitted herself well.
Yeah.
That's
okay.
All right. Our first sketch, detectives. Mm-hmm. We got police, not precinct, not squad. Well,
precinct.
Precinct, yeah. And they're like working on cold cases. And they've got two new interns. It's Olivia and Kaya. And it's Sydney Sweeney and Chloe Fineman.
Right. And also, side note. You'll see Chloe Fineman got a lot of screen time this episode.
It was kind of a heavy episode for her.
Yeah, like I looked it up. She was in six sketches. That's like, wow.
That's good week for Chloe Fineman, man. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, with this sketch, so the hook of it is the cops are going over all these cold, unsolved cases.
Yeah.
And the interns are able to find the perpetrators almost instantly. Like through Snapchat and Instagram and Facebook.
Yeah, just because they're so chronically online, they know how to, comb through somebody's social media for information. I mean, it's like Keenan gives the basics of the cases, and they're like, "Hey, we found him. We found him on Instagram."
Right.
And they say, "How did you do that?" And they say, "We're 22-year-old girls in situationships. our screen time is 23 hours a day."
Yeah, I think at one point they talk about another guy that's missing, and they're like, "Well, how old is he?" "Oh, he's in his 40s." I was like, "All right, Facebook." And then they go to Facebook to go to his mom's page because his Facebook page is private, and they scroll through his mom's Facebook page and they find him
because it's public. Yeah,
It's public, and then they find a picture of him and his mom eating at a restaurant. It's like, "All right, we found him."
Yeah.
So like, I like the idea of it, like how we're all everybody is kind of just on the grid now these days that. Anybody can be found with like little to no knowledge of the person.
Yeah. It is weird. It's like, I don't know why. Like the other day I was out and I bought lunch somewhere and I got a receipt and I don't know why this thought, I was just like, "Oh, well now I have an alibi for this time. If anybody's searching for me for my whereabouts of this night, I can prove that I was here."
The perfect crime.
And I don't know why I thought that. Maybe I was just trying to inject some excitement into a kind of dull evening or something.
I like that, man. You should use your imagination.
No, officers. I was at Chipotle at 9 p.m.
Ah, he's right. He's got an alibi. Let him go, Tompkins.
Yeah.
All right, Trumbull. You're clean this time, but you watch your step.
Yes, officer.
We'll be watching you.
There were some nice touches in there. I liked how they gave, how Keenan's character is like the captain or lieutenant. He kept describing it. Every victim is very attractive. And at one point, the detectives are like, "You don't have to describe every victim as attractive."
It's like, oh,
yeah. And when Heidi walks in, he's like, "Oh my goodness, it's a very attractive, fully clothed woman."
So then Heidi comes in. Her husband is missing. They find him immediately. He's on Love Is Blind.
Yeah.
And she's like, "Why does this keep happening?"
Yeah, and I liked, they had little asides. I liked that, James Austin Johnson's character tried talking in this slang that the young girls were using, and Keenan's like, "You don't have to talk like that." And James is like, "Oh, thank God." I liked how Mikey was horrified that you can take screenshots on Snapchat, and he's like, "I have to go."
That's why I never joined Snapchat. I knew it was a trap.
Yeah, and I liked the little aside that Ego's character is taking the same BuzzFeed quiz, and she's like, why did I get matched with Andy Cohen? Don't get me wrong, I don't mind that. I like a little fruit in my salad.
Yeah, I was like, wow.
This was cute.
Yeah.
This was cute. And then at the very end, they find Kenan's OnlyFans.
Yeah, with the badges on his nips.
Yeah, and he's the captain. And I like that they made him look significantly younger and skinnier, too.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I'm assuming that's because that's what he would do, the captain.
Yeah, that was good attention to detail. Yeah, it's either implying that he's had it for a while or that, yeah, he's, you know, trying to put his best foot forward, I suppose.
Yeah, but, yeah, solid sketch, I thought. This one was all right.
It was cute.
Yeah, yeah. It's like, all right, we're off to a good start. Okay, mm-hmm. SNL, I see you.
Yeah. Next, we have Please Don't Destroy, Gone Too Soon. See, it feels like the Please Don't Destroy boys have been gone for a little while, right?
It really does. Like, I feel like, I mean, I know they had a sketch ready to go for the Io Debris one, but that got cut, because I guess, mm-hmm. for time. But yeah, like, when was the last, I guess the last time we saw them was with the Dakota Johnson episode, right?
Yeah, it seems like too long.
It's only been two episodes. It's only been like a couple of weeks, but it feels like an eternity.
Yeah, yeah. When they're gone, I miss them.
I know. I miss you when you were away.
I miss your musk.
Oh, God. And when this is over, you and me should get an apartment together.
Thank you for catching the Anchorman reference.
Of course. Got too many thoughts up in the old skull there.
The other day, I watched their podcast with Mike Birbiglia, because I was like, I just want to see the Please Don't Destroy boys. I haven't seen them on SNL in a while, and I miss them.
I miss them. I miss us.
Yeah. Anyway, Please Don't Destroy, SNL writing night. Sydney Sweeney comes in, and they're like, they're all really down. They're depressed that one of their friends just passed.
Right. Then Sydney asks him, well, how did he pass? And he said, well, you know, this might sound crazy, but it's not funny. He was visiting Arizona, and a donkey kicked him so hard in the nuts that he fell into the Grand Canyon.
Yeah.
Yeah. And she's like, are you serious?
Yeah. Is that for real?
Yeah. And then he's like, yeah, and this is also happened. It's not funny, don't laugh, but he was also wearing roller skates, so he, like, grinded down the Grand Canyon as he fell. And
yeah, then he shredded the Grand Canyon like a half pipe.
Yeah. And then he skadooshed on a fat guy's stomach like a Kung Fu Panda and exploded.
Yeah, yeah.
And
his name was Reverend Butt Cheek P. Rosenthal.
And the P stands for penis, right?
They're like, no, don't be silly. It stands for vagina.
Exactly.
Yeah, so she's dubious at best. And then they show her a video of the incident. And we don't see the video, but we see her reacting to the video. And they also have pop-ups of the comments. And I love that the comments on the video are like Joe Biden, Malaya, Pope Francis.
Yes.
That was a nice touch.
Homie died like a Rube Goldberg machine.
Yeah, yeah. And he was, they reveal that he was like Chef Boyardee's son, I think.
Exactly. And then Chef Boyardee pops his head in, and then apparently the whole thing is just an ad for Chef Boyardee.
For life's toughest moments.
Yeah. Yes.
So, decent Please Don't Destroy. I don't think it was their best, but...
Yeah.
But enjoyable.
Enjoyable, decent, definitely not their best. They kind of did that thing that we've talked about in the podcast that I'm not a big fan of when... They don't know how to end a sketch. They just make it a fake commercial for something else entirely.
Yeah, that has become a bit too much of a go-to for SNL, I suppose.
Yeah, it's a bit of a crutch. And I'm like, all right, I see what you're doing here. Like,
yeah.
You didn't know how to end it, so it's an ad for Chef Boyardee. Okay.
Yeah, yeah. I'd like to say SNL should only do that trick, say, once a season.
Yeah.
I think the best time they ever did it was that sketch with The Rock and the Most Evil Invention, and it turned out to be a White Castle commercial.
Yes, that I will forgive it for, just because that sketch was so...
That sketch is perfection from beginning to end.
Yeah, that shit is so outrageous. Yes, I will let that slide.
Yes.
But yeah, but this sketch, yeah, decent enough, but definitely, mm-hmm. PDD's definitely done better.
Yeah, I mean, And yeah, don't dislike it in any regard, but you know, when we're talking about the greatest Please Don't Destroy sketches ever, I don't think that's necessarily going to be there.
No.
Yeah. You know, absolutely. It's no Dakota Johnson, you Ooh. Know, Nepo baby rings.
Yes. Nepo truce.
Yeah. Nepo truce. Foot in the door and so much more.
That's, oh God, that still makes me laugh. Still.
Yeah.
Still.
Yeah. So next, we got Air Bud.
Air Bud.
Air Bud. You ever seen any of the Air Bud movies? I have not.
I have not, and it shocks me that this movie still has, like, the lasting power that it does. Like, people are, like they did the sketch in 2024, then people still understand the reference. They still get it.
Well, I think it's one of those things that people have a lot of nostalgia for because they watched one or more of those movies as kids. And those movies started in sometime in the 90s, I think. So I was already an adult at that point. So I really had no reason to watch the Air Bud movies.
Yeah. You're a grown-ass man.
But I'm aware of the basic thing. You know, dog playing basketball. Nothing in the rule book saying he can't play basketball.
Yeah.
Hijinks ensue.
Yeah. First Air Bud came out in 97.
And 97. I would have guessed earlier. But okay, 97. Yeah. So that dog 100% dead now.
Yeah. Oh, God. Why would you? I mean, yes. But
I'm just,
oh my God.
I'm just keeping it real, son.
Damn. All right, homie. Wow, it's cold blooded.
Check it and see. So yeah, we got so Sydney Sweeney, she's playing the head cheerleader. She's back from vacation and her friends are saying, like, hey, you know, you need to, but yeah, while you were gone, there was a new person who started the basketball team. And, you know, he turned the game around and he's amazing and he's incredible. And, you know, you should check him out.
Right.
And she's like, oh, well, I there's a new star basketball player and I'm not dating him yet. I've got to go hit on him. Toot sweet.
Yes.
So.
And it turns out that new player is a dog by the name of Air Bud.
It is an Air Bud. Is this, now I noticed that the team are the Timberwolves. Is that the name of the team from the Air Bud movies? I didn't double check this.
Ooh, that is a good point.
I'm going to give that a quick Google because now I'm curious.
Okay, but yeah, yes.
It is, okay, there is an Air Bud wiki and it is Fernfield High School and they were the Fernfield Timberwolves and from the pictures I'm seeing, the SNL art department apparently matched the uniforms pretty well.
Oh shit! All right.
So this is accurate to the Air Bud canon.
Yes, it is Air Bud canon. The accuracy is there. So all you Air Bud heads, don't come complain to SNL. They stuck to the story. They stuck to the lore.
There has to be someone out there who's like this big Air Bud continuity buff, right?
Yeah. Like actually, Air Bud would not eat a sandwich like that, like you portray him in the sketch, sir. Well, I hope someone was fired for that blunder.
Yeah. I'm really curious how many Air Bud movies there are now.
I think there's like 3 or 4.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's, I mean,
that sounds about right.
Yeah. I mean, like when your star is a dog, you don't have to pay a lot of money for like, you know.
Yeah. Yeah. They're, you know, cheap. They could turn them around pretty quickly.
Yeah. You can.
Holy crap, Michael Jeter was in an Air Bud movie?
Who?
Michael Jeter.
Like Derek's brother?
No. No, the Broadway actor. And I'll explain who he is later.
Air Bud sketch. The rest of the sketch is basically Sydney Sweeney hitting on a dog, an actual dog. In this sketch, saying, "Oh, hey, that's a cool tongue you got there. Oh, you're so hairy. Yeah. You Italian?" And it's basically Sydney anchoring the sketch, which shows a lot of confidence in the show.
Sydney and the dog. Let's give the dog credit too.
You know what? I apologize. Sydney and the dog anchoring the sketch.
That dog was doing a hell of a job. He's a very, very good dog. He was staring dead into the camera, and it made it much funnier.
Okay. I feel like, because this sketch has a dog in it, knowing you the way I know you, you're going to give this sketch extra points, bonus points.
Look, I am always, always, always happy to see a dog pop up on an SNL sketch. Yes, I will give SNL sketches with dogs extra points. Yes,
right,
100%. I'm an easy mark. I mean, look, yeah.
But dogs in a sketch.
Yeah, like the trivia night that I co-host sometimes, it's at a venue, the Glenbrook Brewery over in Morristown, New Jersey. Come by Wednesday nights. People are allowed to bring their dogs in, and it is so much fun when I'm hosting and people have their dogs there. I get to pet some dogs and make some friends with new dogs.
Yay!
It's so much fun.
Oh, yeah. Lovely. But yeah, so that's. I mean, there isn't too much to this sketch. It's just like, Sydney hitting on the dog, and then of course, the two other basketball players on the side, Marcelo and Dismuke, saying, "Hey, you know that's a dog, right?"
Yeah, yeah, and she doesn't care.
Yes, exactly. She's like, "Yeah,
she's
whatever."
She's not shallow like that. She's not about surface appearances. She's like, you know, "Oh, you're very hairy. Are you Italian?"
Exactly.
And Marcelo like feeds the dog a sandwich at one point. And did you notice that Dismukes was also holding a sandwich?
No, I think
he's holding like half a sub. He's got a grinder in one of his hands, and I'm like, was Dismukes supposed to feed the dog a sandwich too? Was that like a spare sandwich in case something happened with the first one? I'm just like, why is he holding a sandwich? I want to know the full sandwich story.
Wow, I didn't even notice that.
Basically, I want an oral history of this sketch for, you know, for Vulture or something.
Yes, break it down for us, people.
Yeah.
We want the deets.
Yeah.
You
know, cute enough.
Cute enough, yeah. And at the end, of course, we see Mikey Day coming in as Air Bud's owner saying, "Hey, come on, boy, we're going to go. And hey, your girlfriend's out there waiting for you." And we see that Air Bud does have a girlfriend, and Sydney Sweeney is all upset, saying, "Oh my God, were you ever going to tell me about this, your slut bitch?"
Girl? She gets jealous and leaves, and she's like, "You know, and by the way, I'm flexible on condoms."
Yeah, not that you'll ever find out.
Yeah, and then it had a nice button at the end where Echo comes by, and she's like, "I'm not flexible on condoms. In fact, I will force you not to use one."
Yes, I'd never let it. So yeah, some nice little bestiality joke there for everybody.
Yeah. But I liked it. It was fun and bizarre. And again, the way that dog just staring dead into the camera, it tickled me.
Yeah, yeah. So this one was I thought this was a fun one. I thought it was okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah, not bad. Like, I think, again, like, it shows a lot of confidence in the show to have the first time guest and the dog anchor this sketch. And I think for the most part, she got there. And of course, Air Bud is perfect. No notes.
Yes. Yes. So next we have Big Bench.
Big Bench.
Big Bench. Joke here is we've got Ego as Judge Carlotta. And they're like, what's better than, you know, one badass judge? What about three judges? No, seven. No, 10. No, 17. And yeah, it's a judge show where the gimmick is we've got 17 judges. Is there a show like that now with like multiple judges?
Kind of. There is a show. I think it's still on. It's a cooking show called Wall of Chefs. Like, my wife is really into it. Where it's like basically,
but that's chefs.
Yeah, but like, so basically, they have two like amateur cooks prepare something, and then they have to be judged by the Wall of Chefs and see which dish is the best. And it's like literally like 12 chefs judge the person. So that's kind of, when I saw the sketch, that's what I thought they were basing it on.
Okay, and unless it's unanimous, like that they don't.
Yeah, I believe that's it. But yeah, okay. Wall of Chefs, so like on the Food Network.
Okay. Well, I was just curious if there was like a multiple judge show like this.
I don't believe so. I think there might be a show where there's like three different judges, but not. But not like 12 or 17 like they have here. So maybe they just took that three judge show idea and just, you know, expounded on it.
Escalated to the point of comic absurdity.
Yes. But yeah, I don't know. This sketch I thought was kind of the weakest one of the night, I think.
Yeah, didn't like this one. Didn't care for this one.
Yeah, I mean, just basically because it seemed like they were kind of trying to do two different things, because they were introducing each judge like, oh, mm-hmm. he's the cute one, he's the pervert right. judge, he's the gay one. This one right. is Judge Judy's niece, but then they were also going back to the case they were working on. So they were kind of like bouncing back and forth between these two kind of premises.
Right, splitting the focus a bit. Yeah, I get that. I get that. You know, I found interesting that Marcello, his character, they say, like, we had Judge Hunk, and then we had Marcello. He's like, you know, and he's hunky and Latino. And his character's name was also Alejandro. So I was like, we have Marcello playing two different people named Alejandro tonight.
Yeah, like, there's more Latino names. Guys.
Yeah, I was like, I don't know what this means, but I feel like this means something.
Yeah, Guzman. There you go. Did you do that?
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, Fernandez. It's like two, boom, two right there.
And then, because they're blatantly trying to curry my favor, we also have a dog judge, Judge Wolf.
Oh, boy. All right. So this is a five-star sketch.
Five stars! I thought it was just okay. I thought it was, you know, I thought having the dog judge was amusing. But then, of course, when they show the graphics at the beginning and the end with, like, the 17 judges, we don't include the dog judge. I mean, what's up with that?
Yeah, disgusting.
I did like at one point when, you know, they have all the judges, like, putting their hands up. They put, like, some fake dog hands up in front of the dog.
Oh, yeah. All right, that was cute.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was cute. But then, like, then they go and they kind of preside over the case. Like, mm-hmm. They hold up signs saying if they think they're guilty or not. We didn't even talk about the case. So, yeah, so it's basically, I'm not even sure what happened in the case. So it's like Sydney Sweeney,
she and James Lawson Johnson, they're playing like this sort of white trash couple. And she's like, the defendant stole my heart and then also my credit cards or identity. I mean, the case doesn't really matter.
It really doesn't.
Yeah.
So then it ends with them holding up signs saying guilty, guilty. Then somebody says, Chipotle.
And
then
yeah.
Somebody else says Panera, and then
right.
Ego's like, "Oh, I guess we're ordering lunch now."
Right.
Like, all right. And then it ends with this them doing the wave.
Yeah, yeah, and that's when we have the fake dog pause.
Yeah, I was like, I don't know. I wasn't too wild about this one. I thought.
Neither was I. I was like, you know, but I didn't hate it. It was fine. It was just a middle of the road SNL sketch, and that's pretty much all I can say about it.
Yeah, I didn't hate it, but I didn't think it was that great. Yeah. It was like, this wasn't.
You know, in the grand canon of SNL sketches with like a mob of people, and we're introducing them throughout the sketch, it's no like, you know, Beethoven introducing the band.
Oh, there you go. Very true.
Remember that?
Yes, yes, I do remember
Al the Hitman Hitler. Yeah.
Oh God. I like, part of me thought like they would do a thing where they would take so long to introduce each judge that they wouldn't even have time to get to the case. Like I thought, right. maybe that would have been a little bit more.
Yeah, that would be a way to go. I mean, of course, you know, we still have to get the host in there somewhere. So
yeah, that's true. All right.
Yeah,
but, yeah. This sketch was like kind of a miss for me.
Yeah, I get that. I get that.
Next up, we got another pre-tape. We got Bowen Straight.
Yeah, another behind the scenes at SNL, because we just didn't get enough of that from Please Don't Destroy.
Yeah. Oh, and we have our writing credits for this one. It's Richardson, Stephen White, and Yang.
Ooh, Bowen Yang had a hand in writing a sketch that heavily features Bowen Yang? Wow.
Shocker. Shocker. Shocker.
So we got Sydney backstage with ladies of SNL. We got Heidi and Ego, and she's like, guys, I've got a confession to make. I have a bit of a crush on Bowen. And they're like, oh, well, you know, you should go for it. And Sydney's like, what, isn't he gay? And they're like, oh, no, he just plays gay on the show because it's such a shortcut to get laughs.
Which is such a crazy premise. I also liked the one thing in the beginning of the sketch, Sydney mm-hmm. says, oh, who, I have a crush on somebody at the show. And then Edgar says, oh, who is it? Lenny Pickett?
Yeah.
Shout out to Lenny Pickett. I love that name,
Bill. Yeah. Yeah, I love that Lenny is their go-to.
Is it Lenny Pickett?
He's the most crushable guy in the show. By the way, this is a divergence, but have you ever seen that clip from Seth Meyers where Jennifer Lawrence tells a story about how she got a crush on Seth Meyers when she was hosting SNL.
I think I did see that. Yeah.
Yeah. And she confessed it to like her makeup artist, and the makeup artist was like, oh no, honey, he's engaged.
Oh boy.
And you know, and Jennifer Lawrence was like, oh, good talk, you know, cause, and she was like embarrassed. Cause like, she was like, I built up this entire relationship in my head.
Yeah. It's weird. Like, didn't somebody else confess to Jimmy Fallon on his show that they had a crush on him?
There's a famous clip from Jimmy Fallon's Tonight Show where he had basically a blind date with Nicole Kidman, like a mutual friend brought Nicole Kidman over to introduce her to Jimmy Fallon. And I think Jimmy Fallon didn't really realize it was a setup.
Oh, boy.
He did not impress Nicole Kidman because he's like, you know, just this young clueless bachelor. And he's like playing video games, and he like puts out this pathetic display of cheese and crackers because I think that was all he had.
Youth is wasted on the young.
Yeah. And you know, Nicole Kidman tells a story on her show, and Jimmy Fallon is like, oh, my God, no, I had no idea. And he's,
oh, my God, it's great. I totally didn't know. Oh my God.
Well, I'll just say this. Like, if you compare those two clips, Seth Meyers, he handles it much, much better than Jimmy Fallon. Jimmy Fallon is like, oh no. And he's like almost beating himself up. And I'm like, dude, you're married with two daughters, I think.
Yeah. Like, your
you know, maybe dial his back a bit.
Yeah.
And Seth Meyers just handles it beautifully. He's just like, he's just amused by it. And, you know, maybe a little flattered by it. But, you know, he's just having fun with the anecdote. And Jimmy Fallon is just,
oh God, the life
of more like, oh my God, I've made a horrible mistake in my life.
The life I could have had. Oh no.
Yeah.
I've ruined everything. Oh God.
Yeah. Yeah. But anyway, so yeah, Heidi and Ego are like, oh no, you know, Sydney Sweeney, but Bowen hooks up with tons of straight women. Bowen pools. I've not heard that term before, but very funny. We have a Gina Gershon cameo.
Yeah. Cause we see Bowen walk over to Gina Gershon and just heavily making out with her. And apparently Bowen's straight, which is such an interesting premise for a sketch. Like, part of me thinks that maybe they got the idea online somewhere where maybe some weird conspiracy theorist was like, I heard Bowen's not even gay. He's just playing it just to get laughs on the show because it's like an easy way. And like, it's all a fake. It's all a ruse. And like, maybe they pulled that and was like, oh, that'd be a good idea for a sketch. And like, that's how we got this.
I don't know.
Are
there Bowen Yang truthers out there?
It might be. It's not the least insane thing I've seen on the internet.
No. I'm not really doubting this. I think it's amusing that we have Gina Gershon once again making a cameo on SNL. I remember she made a cameo in a Ladies Man sketch ages ago, like back in the day, where it was like Ladies Man was showing off his ladies, and it was like Sarah Michelle Gellar, Gina Gershon, and Florence Henderson.
Yeah, wow.
And I think maybe Sarah Michelle Gellar was hosting that week. I know Gina Gershon wasn't. I don't think she's ever hosted the show, as far as I know.
Yeah, but why don't they let her host? That's crazy.
I don't know. But oh no, okay. Apparently, no. This was from the May 20th, 2000 episode with host Jackie Chan, musical guest Kid Rock, and it was a ladies' man sketch. So it was Sarah Michelle Gellar, Gina Gershon, and Florence Henderson.
Wow. What a lineup.
Yeah. And that was the cold open. Wow. It's SNL Wiki says this was likely a send off to Meadows, who left the show at the end of the season. So.
Oh. Okay. R.I.P. No, he's not dead.
He's still alive.
He's still alive. He's alive to me, damn it.
But I guess Gina Gershon, I guess she lives in the city or something. So.
I guess so. But yeah, so then we cut to Sydney shooting her shot at Bowen, mm-hmm. as while she gets pitched an idea for a sketch by Mikey, Sydney Sweeney Todd.
Yeah. He's like, it'll be funny when we do it. Which I'm sure they've given that reassurance to many a host.
Right. So then Sydney's like, oh, I know you're straight. And then the two of them get close. And I think she said, like, what type of girls are you into? He says, you know, smart, funny, heavy naturals.
He says, blonde, smart, heavy naturals. Yeah. And she says, he says, what's your type? She says, gay presenting Asian podcasters.
Wow.
So match made in heaven. And yeah, so they hook up. They have like a, you know, passionate embrace. They hook up in an office. I'm assuming it's Lauren's office because we see like the note cards on the bulletin board behind them.
Yeah, part of me, I almost wanted to like stop and pause to see if I could like squint and see if I can maybe see who was going to be like future like host of the show. Like if that was like the actual note board about like who's going to be hosting in the future. But then I was like, no, that's
ridiculous. Oh, looking for clues.
Yeah. But I was like, no, that's ridiculous. They wouldn't do that.
I didn't think to do that. That's funny. I thought you were like, you know, looking for clues. That was really Lauren's office.
Yeah. So then they hook up, they make passionate love. And of course, like, as soon as they're done, Bowen's, like, very indifferent to her. He's playing video games, saying, like, hey, you know, I got a lot of stuff going on. Like, you know, I can't get involved with anybody right now.
Yeah.
And then, you know, of course, he blows her off, saying, hey, I can't, you know, just let's lay off, man. I got to go to Paris. And then he leaves and goes to Paris with two other women in a helicopter.
In a helicopter, yeah.
Yeah.
So the helicopter comes to 30 Rock, and he just takes off in the helicopter to... I don't know. Is he taking the helicopter to Paris? Is the helicopter flying him to the airport? It's unclear.
And then, of course, is you know, Sydney's heartbroken. Heidi's like, hey, you know, sometimes you got to learn these things on your own, mama. And Sydney's like, well, I guess I'll never find true love. Marcello comes in with flowers saying, hey, never say never. And they both scream at Marcello to get the hell out.
Yes.
Like, get out of here, you.
Yeah.
Solid.
This was cute.
I dug this sketch. Pretty solid.
Yeah. This might be my sketch of the week, I think.
Yeah, maybe. I wouldn't be mad at it. I definitely got a kick out of the sketch.
Mm-hmm.
Like, the premise of Bowie actually being straight and playing gay for laughs, or it's a shortcut to laughs. Interesting premise, and
it's
pretty solid execution. Like, maybe part of me hoped they would have gone a little bit longer and farther with it, but overall, I like the sketch. I like it.
Yeah, I enjoyed it. Mm-hmm. Funny. Didn't overstay its welcome. Performed.
Next up, makeup artists.
Makeup artists. This was interesting. We've got a wedding. We've got Heidi as the bride, Jules, and we got Sydney Sweeney and Sarah as the ladies who did her makeup. And you know, they're just waiting in the room. You know, where the bridesmaids are getting ready and they've just done the bride's makeup.
Yeah, she looks beautiful. Then, she looks like Princess Di before.
Yeah. I heard that and I was like, okay, Sarah had a hand in writing this sketch, I'm sure. I am sure. That's a Sarah Sherman line. and then Chloe Trost comes in and she's like, oh, you know, your groom, he left this note and he's left her at the altar.
Yeah.
And so Heidi starts, you know, sobbing and Sydney and Sarah are just like, oh yeah, can you go ahead and Venmo us? Because we found that if you don't pay us right away, we don't get paid.
Yeah. And then of course Chloe's like, didn't we already pay you beforehand?
Yeah.
And she checks her phone, like, oh, you did. And of course that starts a runner of I guess their catchphrase where they're like, shoot.
Yeah. And they have other requests while, you know, the bride is in crisis there. You know, they're like, hey, can you go ahead and get us a review on our Yelp? And you know, it escalates a bit where Julie says like, oh, and you know, to top it off, I'm 2 months pregnant. Hey, we need a pic for our website. I like this underrated line. They said, we got thrown off Instagram for commenting snitch on all of Leah Remini's posts.
That was a good line. I did like that.
That was hilarious. I just a nice bizarre detail. I'm like, okay, are they Scientologists? Do they just are
I don't know.
I just enjoyed that. That was very funny.
Yeah. Maybe they just hate snitches in all forms.
Maybe, you know.
Yeah, and then it kind of ends, kind of peters out. It ends on the hairstylist saying, oh, maybe I could hook you up with my brother. He's single. Mm-hmm. He gets out of the halfway house in April. And then the bride's like, oh, yeah, maybe I could date again. Maybe that'd be all right. And then they're both like, oh, shoot. He actually hates pregnant women.
Yeah.
Like, oh, shoot.
Yeah.
Not a bad sketch.
It didn't send me in a big way. I don't know. I just didn't really engage with the characters in a big way. It was, I think I find the idea of it funnier than I found the execution of it.
Yeah, I feel like this was like one rewrite away from being pretty good. Mm-hmm. Like so far I just kind of landed on okay. Like, but I got, there's enough good stuff in there that I liked it, but I was like, this feels like this could have been a lot better, but you know, I'm time constraints, you know, you gotta go with what you got when Saturday comes. But I thought it was all
show
right.
Doesn't go on because it's ready. Show goes on because it's 11:30.
Yes, but I didn't have much to say about the sketch. Like, I thought it was okay, but like, I feel like it was close to being like better than it was.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. So,
next up, we got our musical guest, Kacey Musgraves. Came out with two songs, A Deeper Well and Too Good to Be True. I did not write a lot for this.
I think she has a really great voice. It was the first song, The Deeper Well, was very gentle and soothing. I was confused why she was barefoot and wearing an old comforter, but
yeah, she just got out of bed.
I am not here to judge.
You know, you just rolled out of bed, you know.
Yeah.
But yeah, I didn't have, the songs sounded nice, pleasant folk music.
Mm-hmm. I like the second song a lot better. Too Good to Be True. That was catchier. If it were up to me, I would have reversed the order of those two. Yeah. The first one was a little more ballady.
But yeah. I mean, they both sounded kind of like slow, and they sounded like songs you'd hear at a Home Goods when you're shopping in autumn.
Yeah. Just kind of mellow.
Like apple picking songs.
Something Barnes & Noble would put on between the Norah Jones albums.
Yeah. Exactly. Bam. You nailed it.
Yeah.
Like something a barista would or a barista would play whilst making your frap.
I spun many of those albums while I was working at the Barnes & Noble music department back in the day.
Did you ever get wild and like put on like a Frank Zappa just to shake shit up?
Well, no, we couldn't. We couldn't just play anything. We had like a designated list, and they would like send us things, and it'd be like, you know, you can play this and this and this. And you know, it was totally up to us what we played off that list. And, you know, we tended to just play the good ones, and if something was bad, we wouldn't play it too much.
You should have gone off the rails and, like, you know, stuck a middle finger to the establishment and put like Black Flag or something.
Yeah,
like Megadeth. That would have been awesome.
Yeah,
I walk into a Barnes & Noble and it's like, for who the bell tolls. I was like, oh, Jesus. This Barnes & Noble rocks.
Honestly, I don't like it too much when stores play music. I find it distracting. I much prefer the quiet, personally, but...
Yeah, I get it, but I guess they just got to put on some music to...
Yeah.
Set an atmosphere, set some tone for the store.
Yeah, there's just... I guess they have research or something that shows that people prefer it, but, you know, I...
Research shows people buy books when they hear Norah Jones. So
yeah, well, I guess so.
So pump up that Vanessa Carlton, and just people go buy these how-to books.
Yeah.
All right, but I didn't have too many notes. I thought both songs were pleasant, nice, soothing, lovely.
Mm-hmm.
They were lovely.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. All right. So weekend update, Colin.
Weekend
Jones.
Update.
Michael Che.
Michael Che, that's the other... That was going to bug me.
I got you, man. I got you.
Thank you. What are we reporting on this week? We're talking about Biden and Trump were both coincidentally at the Texas border. Hmm. around Thursday of this week.
Wah, wah, wah.
They showed a clip I had not seen of, like, Trump waving to migrants across the... That clip was fucking insane.
It really... We live in insane...
That man is not well.
No, he's not. No. Very much not so.
Yeah.
The man is mentally ill.
Yeah.
Yet here we are.
Yeah. Yeah.
But yeah, they showed that. They talked about Mitch McConnell stepping down. At the end
I wish they'd gone at Mitch McConnell a little harder, honestly.
Yeah. I mean, they did with this whole thing of, like, they had that runner of, like, they showed a picture of him smiling, and it's like, Mitch McConnell here, just getting out of seeing 12 years a slave.
Yeah. They find a picture of him with a goofy grin, and then they, you know, come up with something heinous that he's amused by. Right. You know, but they always do that with Mitch McConnell. I wanted to see them go a little harder, because he's just such a fucking demon.
Yeah, but they kind of should have gone a little bit harder more on him about his horrible, horrible... But then again, see, I don't know. Part of me thinks this is kind of one of the weaknesses in the writing staff right now. I think they need somebody who knows the political landscape a lot more. Because, like, a lot of the political joke they tell on the shows kind of seem kind of surface level. Like, mostly about the looks and... Like,
are you talking about Update or SNL in general?
I would say both. SNL in general and the Update. Okay. Like, I would like it if they got somebody who's a lot more politically minded and can write jokes. Like Jim Downey used to do. Like,
yeah, I was just going to bring up Jim Downey's name. He was just on Conan O'Brien Needs a Friend. And great, great interview, by the way.
Yeah.
Definitely listen to that if you haven't listened to that already.
Yeah.
Because he's just a fount of information about his time on SNL.
Yeah, absolutely. But, like, if they got somebody who was, like, more politically minded, who could, like, really dig in deep on what these politicians have done, like, as far as legislature goes and stuff that actually affects us, you know, the common folks, like, they could, like, hit a little bit harder and dig a little bit deeper rather than the surface level, oh, he's old and mean type of jokes.
I agree. I would like to see more political minded jokes, and I feel like that is maybe a bit of a lack in the writer's room right now.
Yeah. But, you know, that's just my two cents. What do I know?
Yeah. What do you know? You've just been podcasting about SNL for 5 years.
Yeah, in my closet. What do I know?
You haven't been in your closet all that time.
That's right.
And by the way, we're not talking about Darren being secretly gay or anything in the closet. No, he podcasts from a literal closet.
That's right. I do it for you, listeners. So leave it a review, goddammit.
Yes. Yes, please rate and review.
Yeah. There were some other jokes there. I did like the South Korea joke that Che had about how South Korea has the lowest birth rate despite the efforts of famous South Korean entertainer Nick Kan-un. It was dumb enough to make me laugh.
Yeah, it's dumb but cute. Yeah. I agree.
And I did like that joke about Flacco the owl, who escaped from Central Park Zoo and died after flying into a building. And his last thoughts were, oh, cool, another owl.
Yeah.
Which, oddly enough, that comes back in a future sketch, which I didn't...
We had a second Flacco reference, yes.
Which, that surprised me. I was like, oh, two Flacco references? All right.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Two Flacco references, two of Marcelo playing in Alejandro, and all the Sydney Sweeney boob jokes you could ever hope for.
That's right. Rule of twos.
Yeah. I guess so.
Yeah. Two Flaccos, two Alejandros.
No, we got it. We got it. You don't have to explain it further. No, that's okay. That's okay. I don't want us to get canceled.
Okay, got it. All right, got it.
Yeah, leave it unsaid.
Done. But yeah, overall, the jokes I thought were okay in this this iteration of the show.
I liked, you know, Che's joke about, you know, Nikki Haley, how, you know, people are clamoring for her to drop out because, like, these dishes are stacking up in the sink.
Yeah, Che's...
I like how Che is just like, I am always going to tell these blatantly sexist jokes, ironically. And, you know, that's just like one of his runners.
Yeah. It's just, you know, women belong.
I just find it amusing.
Women belong in the kitchen. Michael Che.
Yeah. Yeah. Like at one point, like, you know, he started doing the setup of the joke and it was getting an applause, and then he gets to the punchline, and then afterwards Joe's just like, hey, remember how you applauded at the first part?
Like, as soon as they applauded, I was like, what are you doing?
You know he's going to say something heinous next.
Is this your first time at the show? Like, you know you know something horrible is going to come right around the corner.
Right. Right.
And sure enough.
Yeah. Had a couple desk pieces. We had Heidi as a woman who is aging gracefully, because God forbid we give a recurring character a name.
Yeah, I don't know why they didn't just give her a name. You know, Claire. There, boom.
Yeah.
Guzman.
You know, yeah, call her Claire, and then, you know, give her the character traits. That's all I ask.
Yeah.
You can still put the character traits in the intro. But, you know, give her a name. Give us a Roseanne Rosanna Dana.
Yeah. We can do it.
Yeah. Give us a Stefan.
Yeah. Where's the Stefan of today?
Like, if we introduced Stefan today, it would just be like, and welcome to a guy who gives inappropriate club recommendations.
Yeah.
Is that funnier?
It's longer.
Yeah. It's longer. It's, you know, it's a big mouthful. You know, yeah. Why not? Just give us a character name and let us discover the joke rather than telling us the joke in the character name.
Yeah. SNL, I hope you're taking notes, because we're dishing out gold here.
That's right. That's right. So she, you know, the joke here was like she's introduced as the woman who's aging gracefully, but she's, you know, really like not, and she's had like a ton of plastic surgery and stuff. And I don't know what they did to make it look like Heidi had a facelift, but well done, SNL makeup department, because it was whatever they did was kind of subtle.
Yeah, you know? Yeah. Like
her face had that weird tightness that women, that people who've had facelifts have.
Yeah, definitely. It looked like Heidi. You could tell it's Heidi, but yeah, it was just slightly off.
Yeah, and I don't know what they did exactly. I don't know if she's wearing some sort of prosthetic cheeks or something, but. Or if it was like her expressions, but I feel like there had to be some sort of makeup thing going on.
I think so. Yeah, I think you're right. Yeah. But yeah, so the woman who's aging gracefully, kind of going into it about all the work she's done. She's had donor eyes. Mm-hmm. You know, she goes in for nipple replacements.
Yeah, and she at one point she like wants to flash and show them off, and she's like, no, it's man's nipples, so it's okay.
Yeah,
I can show them.
Exactly. Like she puts on this kind of voice that's kind of. You know, a little hard to make out, okay, something like that. And of course, talking about how, you know, women's age is like the speed limit. Ignore it unless you're in a school zone.
Yeah.
You know.
I like the gag at the end where she turns around. You know, she says, like, she indicates that her age is 316. She's like, oh, 316. And she does like a turnaround, and she turns around, and you see on her back, she's got like binder clips on her back holding her skin.
Yeah. Like I thought the segment was okay so far. Like it was a lot of like Heidi kind of mugging and doing a lot of fast talk, but yeah, the binder clip one was, I think that's where it was. That was a good way to end it. Like that's
a good visual gag. Yeah. I think overall this went on a little too long.
A little bit. Yeah. Like maybe it didn't have as much gas in the tank as one would have hoped. The sketch basically kind of hinges on the fact of how much you love Heidi and can watch her kind of do anything. And, you know, I'm a fan of Heidi, but yeah, even I was like, this is kind of petering out for me a little bit. So when it ended with the binder clips, I was like, oh, okay, that was a pretty strong way to end it.
Yeah.
Absolutely. But but overall, it was okay, the segment.
Yeah.
Okay, so next up we have Charlotte the Pregnant Stingray, Ego Wodum. So basically this is based off a story where in...
Which I had not heard of. I had not heard about this story.
I think I heard about it a little bit. So basically in North Carolina, in this aquarium in North Carolina, a stingray, a female stingray, who is in a, you know, by herself, no male stingrays around her, somehow got pregnant. And, like, it's without a male partner. People are wondering how this happened. Or how could have this happened? And, of course, the stingray's name is Charlotte, North Carolina.
Yeah, now, I would love it if this stingray was the subject of Sydney Sweeney's new movie, Immaculate. Ooh. And it's just about an immaculate stingray conception.
A stingray nun in a convent getting
a
pregnant.
A stingray nun, Sydney Sweeney, as you've never seen her before.
Wow.
I would watch that movie.
Dude, we are spitting out ideas here. Like, we're an idea.
And yet somehow Sydney Sweeney also still has a shower scene.
Yeah, exactly. Of course.
Playing a stingray.
Got to see them gills.
Because, you know, it's SeaWorld. You got to hose them down.
Yeah. Oh, hubba hubba. But yeah, so then we have the pregnant stingray come out to explain this side of the story. It's Ego Wodum in one of the most elaborate stingray costumes I've ever seen. It is impressive.
It's a very impressive outfit. I mean, just kudos to the SNL costume department once again.
Yeah, they even went so far as to put like those big door knocker earrings on the stingray that say like her name's Charlotte on them. And like the basic running gag is that Michael Che is the father of this pregnancy. Like he impregnated a stingray.
Michael Che gets weird, man.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
And, you know, yeah, she's like, oh, yeah, you and your latex allergy.
Yeah, and you know, him saying, like, we heard it was a immaculate conception. And he's like, yeah, you immaculated into me, and I immaculated
three times. And
like, oh, my God.
Yeah. Funny stuff. Yeah, I enjoyed it because it was just so bizarre, and I liked how Jay was playing it. And, you know, at one point he's just like, I don't like this.
Yeah, like, first we're getting it on with dogs, now we're getting it on with stingrays. A lot of bestiality themes here happening in SNL tonight.
I guess so. A fair amount of bestiality humor tonight.
But yeah, overall, I thought this was pleasant enough.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't hate it.
Yeah, I enjoyed it. It was, you know, it was fun and bizarre, and, you know, that's all I really want from an SNL Weekend Update segment.
Fun and bizarre, that's all we ask.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Next up, we got Hooters Waitress.
Hooters Waitress. I feel like this one's going to be all over the internet.
Oh, you don't say.
So we got, you know, it's like closing time at Hooters. Well, I guess towards the end of the night, because they still got customers there. We got Chloe Fineman and Sarah Sherman as Hooters waitresses, and they're like counting up the tips. Chloe's got like $42. Sarah's got $39, I think she said. And then Sydney Sweeney comes in and she's like, oh, I got 36,000 in tips.
Yeah, she pulls out stacks of cash like a drug dealer.
Yeah. And she's the new waitress there. And then we have Bowen Yang come out as a male waiter. So if, you know, you ever wanted to see Bowen Yang in a Hooters uniform, you are in luck.
Yowza.
Wasn't there a lawsuit like a few years back where there was a guy who wanted to work at Hooters and he was claiming it was discriminatory when they wouldn't hire him?
There was, yeah. It was a whole thing about letting men work at Hooters. And honestly, that's kind of where I thought this sketch was going. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, if you bring up Bowen in a Hooters outfit, you're like, oh, okay, so this is, he's kind of going to be the focus of the sketch. But then he wasn't, and it kind of took this other turn that I kind of...
Well, no, because, again, Sydney Sweeney in a Hooters uniform.
Yeah. Yeah.
And they got it like pretty accurate as I recall, because they even have the pantyhose, which it was like years before I realized that like the pantyhose are part of the Hooters uniform for some reason.
Really?
They're wearing like booty shorts. Yeah.
Oh, okay. I didn't even notice that.
I think the uniform was like, I read some article or some history of Hooters once, you know, because I'm an intellectual.
Yes.
And I think like the uniform is basically constructed around this owner's very specific fetishes or something.
Oh dear. 'Cause
I don't know. It's so weird. Like they're still sticking with that uniform, even though it's like so 1980s, you know,
it's classic. It's retro.
I guess so. I couldn't tell you the last time I set foot in a Hooters. It feels like it should be a restaurant chain that has gone out of business by this point, right?
I think a few of them are. Like, I know there was definitely one out in Wayne that's gone out of business. I think the whole quote-unquote...
There was one by the Willowbrook Mall, right?
Yeah, that's done.
We're getting really Jersey now, folks.
Super Jersey, sorry, guys. But
people in Morris County will love this.
Yeah. this is for you guys. But, like, I know a bunch of those like Hooters have closed down, and... I think the quote-unquote restaurants type of place that are kind of on its way.
Right.
I think people aren't as pumped to go to those as they used to be.
People are probably like, hey, we have internet connections.
Yeah, very much so, yeah.
We don't really need to go out and, you know, have mediocre to decent food to see women in tight clothing.
Yeah, I can just go on OnlyFans and order some takeout.
Exactly.
Done.
Like an American.
Like a proud American.
But yeah, so Sydney's Sweeney is like, oh yeah, I get it. You're teasing the new girl. And she's like, no, I mean, I think I'm just getting good tips because it's, you know, I'm providing such great service. And she goes over to the table to demonstrate, and, you know, it's several of the guys there, and Sydney Sweeney spills beers all over the table. And then, like, ends up pouring a beer directly into Andrew Dismuke's mouth, basically waterboarding Andrew Dismuke's with beer.
Yeah, very much so. And, like, even he was like, kind of coughs up before he gives up his next line a little bit.
I mean, congratulations to Andrew Dismuke for not choking out on national television.
Yeah, I probably would. I would like, blah, 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 blah.
Yeah, yeah. And then he's like, well, you know, hey, I've been sober for 22 years and just broke that. But hey, you know, you're still a great waitress.
Yeah, yeah, pretty much. And then it's like, and then basically the Hooters waitress say, hey, you know, no offense, but you kind of make us feel bad that you get all the tips just for being horrible at your job. And, you know, we were
looking like Sydney Sweeney.
Yeah. And that was another part, too, where Chloe Fineman goes over to serve the same guy. And they're like, no, you go away. We want the other one. I'm like, look.
Yeah.
Chloe Fineman is, I mean, you know, she ain't hideous. Or, I don't know.
Perfectly attractive, just not built how you would expect a Hooters waitress to be built.
Look,
Chloe Vomit, like, she's literally done a sketch on SNL where she's like talking about how she has a flat ass.
Yes. So okay, so she knows what
I don't feel like I'm particularly out of line, and particularly since I feel like Chloe may very well have had a hand in writing the sketch.
She might have. We don't have the who wrote what, but
we don't have writing credits for this one yet.
But yeah, so Sydney Sweeney feels bad. It's like, all right, you know, it seemed like I thought I found a home here. It seemed like all the other jobs I've had didn't work out. I worked at the airport. No planes took off. I was a crossing guard. Thousands died.
Yeah. Yeah. I like that detail. And then it takes a very bizarre turn at the end where James Austin Johnson comes in as Hooters mascot, Hooter B. Owl, because, you know, they're owl-themed people.
Yes, get it?
They are owl-themed.
Get it?
Look, no, those circles with the dots in the center, those are owl eyes.
Yes.
And, you know, you are perverted if you think that's anything else. It's owl-themed.
Yes, absolutely. That's all it's about.
Yeah.
So, so then the Hooters Yell convinces her to stay and says, oh, you're like my Harry Potter. You need to stay here. This is where you belong.
Yeah, this is Hogwarts and you're my Harry Potter.
Yeah.
And he's like, and now I have to go because I'm very depressed because my owl friend died this week.
Yeah, my friend Flacco flew into a building.
Right, right.
And I was like, and oh, like, callback. You know, all right.
Yeah, and he was like, you know what would make me feel better is if someone flashed me their breasts. And then Chloe Fineman's character goes, oh, I'll do it. And he says, yeah, I don't care. And I just, how abruptly he said, I don't care. Like, she had barely even gotten the thing out of her mouth. And he just was like, yeah, I don't care. And turns around. Very funny.
It was very quick.
I think this was a good sketch. I kind of wish this had escalated more somehow. Like, escalated more, like, in how incompetent she was or how much they didn't care about the other wait staff or something.
Yeah, I kind of feel like this might have been cut for... Or chopped down. Or
cut edited. Down?
Yeah, cut down a little bit. Like, I feel like there was, like, kind of more there. Overall, it wasn't bad, but yeah, it feels like this was like a chopped down version of the original.
I saw somebody on Twitter, and I don't remember who right now, but I think they were saying, like, well, I admire their restraint in not, you know, like, spraying water on her chest and making her basically do a wet t-shirt thing.
Oh my god.
And I'm like, yeah, then the sketch isn't really about the comedy anymore. Yeah. I think.
We've come a long way since the Lindsay Lohan Harry Potter sketch.
Yeah. You look back at that sketch and oof. It's a little like, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, it's funny, but.
Yeah. I think somebody pointed out that she might have been like 17 when she did that, too. Which is.
She was still pretty young. I mean, because that was like in the early Lindsay Lohan heyday.
Yeah. Oh, boy. I feel like.
That might have been the first time she hosted. I know she hosted a few times.
Yeah, I think so. But yeah, like.
Let me see if I can find that.
It's definitely up on YouTube, that sketch. But yeah, you watch it. You kind of feel like you're going to get put on the list afterwards.
kind of.
Yikes.
Yes. Let's see. She looks like she hosted in 2004. She's hosted four times. Let's see.
Oh. She's close to being the Five Timers Club, then.
Close to. Ooh. Don't have a summary of her sketches, so I don't know when the Hermione one was. Okay. It was probably 2004 or 2006 when she next hosted.
Okay. All right. But, yeah. You know,
Jimmy Fallon was still on the show, and Chris Parnell was on the show. Yeah.
Yeah, because I remember Fallon and Dratch were her
Yeah, and Seth Meyers was in the sketch. So it had to be 2004 because he just... Anyway.
Okay. This was okay. Like, it felt like it could have been, like, you know, fleshed out a little bit more. I'll say.
Has to be a better way for you to phrase that, dude.
Oh, shit. I didn't even realize that.
I wish they'd exploited her more.
You know what I mean.
No, I know what you meant. I just, it was funny phrasing.
Phrasing. All right, next sketch, Airbnb design commercial.
Yeah, this is another pre-tape. We got Sydney Sweeney and Chloe Trost as their interior designers for Airbnbs. And is that a job?
I don't think so. I think they're kind of playing off the trope that if you've ever used an Airbnb, a lot of them kind of have the same sort of setup and design. Right. So I think they just thought, well maybe... Like, what if there was, like, a certain interior designer company that exclusively just did Airbnbs? So, right. I guess that was the impetus of this sketch.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I like the fact that Chloe Trost is kind of getting a chance to shine here. Because, it's like I said, Sydney Sweeney and Chloe Trost play Chanel and Channel. Which, that made me chuckle. Two interior designers for Airbnbs, and they do things like, they have things in Airbnbs like, you know, the 12-page garage packet about how to properly take out the garbage, and, things like the locked closet with owner stuff, do not touch, politically ambiguous artwork that says lives matter.
Yeah, this was okay, it didn't really send me. I think Chloe and Sydney Sweeney both had good flat delivery. I think that added to it.
Yeah, the vocal
But other
fry.
Than that, I wasn't too nuts about it. Maybe I would have dug it more if I'd ever stayed in an Airbnb, but I have not.
Yeah, I mean, I did stay in Airbnb like once, and so a few of these things did kind of hit for me. I like the line, like, why stay at a hotel when for the same amount of money, you can stay at a place with worse sheets and a camera in the toilet?
Yeah.
Which is always something I'm kind of worried. I don't know. Like, I did stay in Airbnb.
Because they're not regulated in a big way, are they?
I don't know. I don't think so.
Yeah.
But like part of me always went, you're staying in someone's house. Like, I don't know, like a stranger's house. Like they could like do some weird shit and like put cameras in places and I don't know. Right. It just feels kind of like freaky, you know, like almost like Goldilocks and the Three Bears. Like it feels like they can come home and like do weird shit to you. But I don't know.
What version of Goldilocks are you reading, dude?
Oh, it's
what the hell?
Are we not reading the same books?
Do they do weird shit to Goldilocks in the version you're reading?
Yes.
Okay.
But I mean, I also
send me that link.
it's on the dark web. I don't know if I can.
Okay. All right. Yeah, that checks out.
But I also like the fact that they did the testimonial. They had Punky do that and. Punky talking.
I liked how they cut back to Punky later and she's like, oh, wait, oh, you did me already.
Yeah, I got a kick out of that. And
yeah, because it's like, you know, she's the only testimonial they have. Yeah. That was cute.
Yeah, and I also like the them talking about the other places they have decorated, like the Cozy Casita Steps from LAX. And it's a house that's with the literally like feet away from the airport. As you see, like a
we see like a plane literally like flying feet over the house.
And of course, they mentioned the Wonka experience in Glasgow, which of course is a nod to the whole Wonka experience over in Glasgow that kind of went viral online.
Yeah, that trended this week. Yeah, there's, you know, they promoted this place with AI art. And then, you know, the actual attraction was just like kind of a warehouse with a few rainbows thrown up around. And it just looked sad.
It looked really bad.
It looks like if you were going to like do some murders and lure people there with some Willy Wonka stuff, this is how you do it.
Yeah, it looked like such a scam. It was like a fire fest, but with Wonka.
Yeah.
And like from what I've heard, there wasn't even any chocolate there for the kids. Like it was all just like fucking fake shit.
What are we even doing there, people?
Yeah, like no one even bothered to get like chocolate bars for these kids.
Pick up some Kit Kats for crying out loud.
Yeah. Valentine's Day just happened. You can get them for a discount at CVS.
Exactly. I saw some of them for 50% off in CVS just the other day.
Oh, God. But I like this.
That's right. I shop at CVS.
Yeah, as you do. Who doesn't?
Because I'm a high roller.
Yeah. You got that CVS money. But
that's right. I get that $10 discount every month, son.
Yeah. Feel. But I like this sketch. I thought it was pretty clever. I like that Chloe Trost gets to feature a sketch prominently. Mm-hmm. And I dug it. Like, I do see what you're saying. They could have done a little bit more with it, but...
Yeah, overall, I wasn't too nuts about it. I was just like, all right.
I like what we got here. I thought it was pretty cool.
Okay. Okay. All right. And lastly, we have Loud Table.
Yes.
We get Andrew Dismukes on a date with Sydney Sweeney.
Yes. So they're at a table. They're a couple. They've been going out for a little bit. Having a nice little romantic dinner, but they're next to a table of gentlemen that are being quite loud and boisterous.
They're being very noisy.
Raucous.
Yes. Yes.
And
Dismukes says, I'm going to go ask them to quiet down. And then he unexpectedly goes over and he gives like this emotional monologue. And he's like, you know, hey, you guys seem like you're really close. See, these guys must be really special friends. And I bet you really love them.
It's like, yeah,
and,
yeah.
And it gets very awkward and everybody just quiets down. And then he comes back to the table and he says, nothing shuts up a group of guys like an earnest expression of how much they mean to each other.
Which is very true.
Yeah.
And then they cut back to the guys and like, oh, yeah, how's your steak? He's like, no, it's fine. It's good.
I think he says, it looks good. He hasn't even bitten into his steak yet. He's like, oh, it looks good.
It's good. Looks like steak.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then Dismuke says, yeah, I told a friend of mine in middle school that laughing with them was the highlight of my day. Haven't spoken to him since.
Yep. funny stuff.
Yeah,
funny stuff. And then they're about to enjoy their date, and then there's a noisy table of women, because women can be noisy too.
Women be talking. Know what I mean?
Yeah. Because the sexes are equal.
Yes.
Men and women can both be loud and annoying.
Equality.
Yeah, quality. Hashtag equality. And so Sydney Sweeney goes over to quiet them down, and she, what exactly should she say? She says a thing about like, you know, kind of considering that your mother was once a young lady and
yeah, she
had her own hopes and dreams.
Yeah,
and,
basically, hey, did you ever think about how your mom was just a girl too, just like you? And then like she showed them a picture of her mom as a young woman pregnant with her. And then, like, they all get wistful for their moms. Like, oh, yeah, my mom called me, and I send it straight to voicemail. And then Molly, who has a line here, saying, oh, when I was 15, I stole the car, smoked a full pack of cigarettes, and barfed in the front
seat.
Threw
up in the car. Yeah.
Smell hasn't left. Yeah, and then they all get sad and wistful, because that's women get quiet when you remind them of your mother's humanity.
Yeah, yeah. And then when she walks back to the table, doesn't take the photo back. I thought that was an odd choice.
No, you keep that.
I mean, look, I'll go with you that you're keeping that photo of your mother, like, inside your dress for some reason. But I think it's weird that you hand it to them and then you don't take it back. But okay. Yeah. And then And just Meeks is like, okay, well, now we can finally enjoy our meal. And Sydney Sweeney says, yeah, I cheated on you with my boss, and I think we should break up. And then Glenn Powell walks in again.
Yep.
And then we just have Dismukes going, aw, man.
Yeah.
And just nice, absurdist Andrew Dismukes ending.
Yeah. And then like it ends with the guys at the table saying, hey, you okay, man? And then yeah, like, yeah, I guess I'm all right. I'm thanks for reaching out. I'm glad you guys reached out. And then he looks over again and they're gone.
Like, oh, yeah. Okay. And we just cut to a wide shot and the table's cleared. And he's like, yeah, and they're gone.
Yeah. Not a bad sketch. I like the premise of it. I like the premise of... Mm-hmm. Them finding a truth about, like, yeah, how guys clam up when they express earnest expression of affection for one another, which is a very true thing.
Very true.
Yeah. I mean, part of me kind of thought they kind of wish they maybe went a little bit further with it, but I did like the sketch of, you know, like what we got here.
How would you like to see them go further with it?
I do not know. But like,
okay.
But, like, it's a great premise.
Boom. Nailed you.
Yep. I've been trumbled.
Yeah.
But I do like the premise of the sketch. Yeah, and it did have a nice little button. As far as the 10-1 goes,
I enjoyed it. I think I really like the ending. I think this was one of the better endings they had of the night. And I feel certain that Dismukes had a hand in writing in this.
Absolutely.
I mean, this was his voice all over. And
absolutely,
just funny stuff. I just liked, you know, oh, I cheated on you with my boss, and I think I'm gonna go. I loved how abrupt and absurd that was.
Yeah,
and he's just like, oh man,
that did take me a minute. I was like, wait, what?
yeah,
kind of got whiplash from that. But yeah, and that's our episode, guys. Overall, solid episode, I would say. Definitely a step up from Shane Gillis. Many steps up from Dakota and Jacob Elordi.
Uh-huh.
Maybe on par with Io?
Mm-hmm.
Maybe a little bit better.
I feel like it was a decent show overall. I didn't feel like there was anything spectacular, but I also didn't feel like there was anything horrible.
Yeah.
I feel like it was just a very good, even-keeled average episode of SNL, which, after the off weeks we've had lately, feels very satisfying.
Yes. Competent.
Yeah.
It's a competent episode.
Yeah. Above mediocre.
There you go. That's
no. I mean, it just very okay overall.
Yeah.
There weren't any there. I was like, oh my god, that was great. That was an instant classic. But there also weren't any where it was like, how did this get on this show?
Yeah. Nothing totally bottomed out. But
yeah, exactly.
Overall, I thought it was pretty solid overall.
Let me ask you this: during the good nights, did Sydney Sweeney forget to thank Glenn Powell?
No, I think she thanked him really quickly.
Saying, okay.
Oh, thanks for Casey and Glenn, and like things. But she's
okay. Did say just Glenn. First name.
Yeah, she did say Glenn really quickly.
Oh, okay, because I was like, he's standing right next to her. You did you forget to thank him?
Yeah, your boyfriend. He's right there.
You're my boyfriend, and let me ask you this: if you were seeing your fiance hosting SNL, would you be watching in the dressing room or would you watch in the audience?
I mean, maybe it's more comfortable in the dressing room.
Maybe. You would be assured of getting a good view of every sketch.
Yeah, that's true.
I don't know. I just thought that was a little odd or interesting. Is her fiance a famous person?
I think he's like a producer or something, because he did mention that...
Oh, yeah, she did say he produced her movie.
Yeah, so...
I'm Googling Sydney Sweeney fiance now.
Let's do it.
Jonathan DeVino.
Okay.
She is 26, he is 38.
Oh. Okay.
Well, that's fine. It's 12 years. I mean,
all right. I guess for Hollywood, that's about par for the course.
I don't know. I mean, I think it's fine. I don't think that's a problem personally. But okay.
All right, cool. All right, but yes.
But you know, my stepfather is 13 years older than my mother, so
you
know, maybe I have a skewed perception.
Okay.
So.
All right. Cool. Hey, I'm not here to judge. Hey, man. You swing how you swing.
Let's see, what does he do? He is a businessman and a producer.
Mm.
He is credited as a producer on The Caretaker, Immaculate, and The Player's Table. They work together as producing partners for her 50-50 Films production company, Per Entertainment Tonight.
Okay.
So, okay, that is Jonathan DeVino.
Yes. Shout out to you, DeVino.
And judging from these photos, it looks like he's trying to maybe bring back the mullet.
Really?
Well, it's, I mean, Google Sydney Sweeney fiance and look at the photos and tell me it's the starts of a mullet there.
Okay.
It's a bit long in the back.
Okay. All right. Well, you know.
I mean, I feel like it's starting to get into mullet territory there.
Let's see. Sydney Sweeney fiance, Jonathan DeVino, images. Oh.
See? I mean, here's kind of swept back.
Yeah.
But kind of long, you know, it's definitely covering some of his neck there, you know?
Yeah, I see what you're saying. It's definitely,
I mean, it's not quite a mullet, but it's getting in that territory, I feel like.
Yeah, it's like almost Steven Seagal-ish, but not quite.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's not enough to, like, make a ponytail.
Not yet. Not yet. Not with that attitude.
Yeah, but...
Okay. All right. Well,
anyway,
shout out to you. Anyway,
so, yeah. So, you know, that's a perfectly cromulent episode of SNL.
Absolutely. So yeah, let's go to the Twitter. See what our Twitter folks think.
Hello, Twitter folks. What do you think?
Boardman gets paid at Lehot the Lion, saying, "Hi guys. Hope I'm not late. Pretty good episode. Kind of surprised Matt Shatt didn't show up." Oh yeah, that's a good point.
Yeah, that's Mikey Day's recurring character, who's, you know, a goofy-looking guy who's married to this spectacularly beautiful woman, and nobody can understand right. why.
And the skits ended pretty well. Also, nobody calls anyone Youngblood anymore. Oh, because of the cold open saying...
people should call each other Youngblood more.
I think we're kind of trying to bring back Youngblood.
I agree that. I agree.
What's up, Youngblood?
All right, Youngblood.
Uh-huh. But, I think they only kept the... Our host is incredibly hot to that one Hooter sketch. I think everything else, you can kind of say the attractiveness doesn't hinge on the entire sketch. I think you can make the argument for that.
Yeah, I suppose so. I don't know. Did she have to be a cheerleader in the Air Bud sketch? Maybe not, but...
All right.
Yeah.
All right, that's agreed. We could debate that, I guess.
Yeah, maybe it's more interesting and it's just easier to have the cheerleader dating the basketball star. I don't know. Yeah. I'm probably overthinking this.
Okay.
I don't know if we really needed the show boobs gag in the monologue, personally, but...
That... yeah.
I think I just didn't... Look, I mean, it's perfectly fine if she's willing to joke about that, you know, so who am I to judge, but... I didn't like the implication that, like, you know, she's only a success because of her attractiveness, you know?
Yeah, like, I get it.
I mean, certainly that's in the mix, but...
Yeah, like, you could be... I understand. Like, or it could be maybe a joke. I mean, I guess they were maybe thinking of, oh, this is, like, a joke about the people who only think that she's successful because of her boobs. But it also could be taken in a way...
Yeah, I didn't get that. I didn't get that. I thought it just... The clear implication was just like, oh, yeah, she's gone topless, therefore she is now famous.
Yeah. No, I hear what you're saying. Yeah, the...
And, you know, I mean, look, like I said, that's certainly in the mix, and, you know, I've certainly seen actresses whose careers have taken off after they've done a nude scene or something like that. You know, that happens, and that is... I mean, it's a career decision when you do that, I suppose.
It is. But yeah, I see what you mean. Yeah, like if they took out that boobs joke, I would have been cool with it. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, so Jacob at darkmatter_362 says, overall, a solid ep. Cold open was awful. Heidi looks stunning, though. Decent mono. I'm assuming you mean the monologue. Or, you know, get well soon. Detectives Hooters. We get it. Boobs. And loud table were okay. I wanted to like makeup artist an Airbnb. And then he has like a little sad face. Big bench was trash. Enjoyed Please Don't Destroy and Bowen. It wasn't for everyone, but Air Bud was hilarious. SOTN. What is SOTN? I don't think I'm familiar with that acronym.
I don't know. That's a new one on me.
SOTN.
State of the Nation? That's probably not it.
SOTN Urban Dictionary.
All right, while you look that up, I'll go with Drew S. Rod at DSIE78. This was the most complete episode since Driver. Second week in a row of good ideas from writers. Execution was better this week. Nice to see Longfellow in a lot of sketches. Weekend update is most consistent source of laughs for me. 10-1 was a sketch of the night. Sydney was a good host, worthy of a return.
Oh, sketch of the night. That's what he meant.
Oh, there we go. Hey.
Sketch of the night.
We got
sketch of the night. Because I went to Urban Dictionary and it says short for Castlevania Symphony of the Night. And I'm like, that can't be it. That can't be it.
Castlevania.
Okay, so Jacob is saying that Air Bud was sketch of the night. Duh. Okay, you know, we've never used that acronym before, but maybe we should start. Sketch of the night.
We'll
S-O-T-N.
Start now. Thank you. Yeah. All right. Thank you, Jacob. You educated us.
Yeah. All right. So let's see. I'm sorry. I was searching while you were reading that last comment. Have we read Manette's comment yet?
We have not.
Okay. She says, our friend Manette Moratti says, I am willing to give SNL a pass for the obvious jokes about her looks a couple times for what was a genuinely solid step up from the writing slump they've been in since 2024. Sydney was a great performer. Wouldn't be upset if she comes back to host again.
There we go.
Yeah, I think she did a nice job. And then Thomasina replied to Manette saying, even though I didn't really love the episode, I think Sydney is a good host. Wouldn't mind seeing her back.
Okay. And we got Techie at Uncle Scrooge DCK saying the PDD and Airbnb ad got chuckles. In other cases, like Hooters and Air Bud, maybe these were last-minute rewrites, but seemed like folks were struggling to land the chars.
The characters, I think you mean.
Oh, yeah. That makes sense. Fun energy from the host. Okay.
Yeah.
So, overall, it seemed like people were pretty positive on this app.
People seem to like it, yeah.
Yeah, and we seem to like it, too.
We liked it, yeah. I don't think it's like an all-time classic or anything like that, but a decent episode of SNL and, you know, food to a starving man at this point.
Yes, absolutely. Yes. A sip of water for two people in the desert.
That's right.
Absolutely.
That's right. And next week we got another new episode of SNL. We got Mr. Josh Brolin returning for the third time.
Yes, J Bro.
As well as Ariana Grande.
Yes.
As the musical guest.
Third time.
She's also back for her third time, I think.
Yes, third time for both of these people, J-Bro and Agron. Agron?
Yeah. Yeah.
So join us for that. I'm looking forward to that. I think this is going to be a good one. And actually, I think I saw somewhere online somebody saying, like, Josh Brolin is, like, their first host over the age of 50 to host a show, because like this season.
Yeah,
because like if you notice this season, then like the hosts have been are relatively on the young side, so this will be the first one of the season where we get a older seasoned thespian to host the show, so I'm looking forward to
that. All right,
yeah, and that's sure. Yeah, so check it out, and that's our episode, guys. Thanks again for listening to the podcast. As always, you can follow us on Twitter, because we refuse to call it X, at SNL Nerds Show, and you can follow me on all platforms at Darren Credible. That's D-A-R-I-N Credible.
You can follow me on platforms at Trumbull Comic, T-R-U-M-B-U-L-L, and the word comic. And please rate, review, podcast, contribute to our Patreon over at non-productive.com. And, it really helps us out with putting on the show and spreading the word of mouth.
Spread the word.
Yeah.
I think that's about it.
So join us next week with Josh Brolin and Ariana Grande. I don't think they'll be here, but you never know.
They might swing by.
But we'll find out next week. But until then, nerds out!
This has been a Non-Productive Media presentation. Executive producer, Frank Hablawi. This program and many others like it on the Non-Productive Network is distributed under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial No Derivatives license. Please share it, but ask before trying to change it or sell it. For more information, visit non-productive.com.